Before we start talking about taxes, I want to talk a little bit about how you organize your business, and that means the kind of legal shell that surrounds it. We're going to stick with a couple of main forms of organization. The first one is going to be the sole proprietorship, which is going to be the simplest, followed by the partnership. We're also going to discuss corporations, both the so-called C-Corp and the S-Corp, and then finally the LLCs and LLPs, the actual name of what those things are and how they function very significantly from state to state. So let's start first with the sole proprietorship, which is the easiest thing you can do to get into business. Essentially, all you need to do to become a sole proprietorship is say, I'm in business, and you're automatically a sole proprietorship. That's the form of organization that you get as default. You can do something a little bit fancy. In Oregon, you can go to the Secretary of State's website. You can register a fictitious name, which means that you can do business in that particular name. I think it costs either $45 or $55. I can never remember which one it is. And they'll send you a little slip of paper. So if you got the idea that you want to be have your business registered as, you know, like Fabulous Massages or something along those lines, if that name is still available, you go ahead and pay your fee, and people can write you checks as Fabulous Massages. You can then go ahead and take this slip of paper, go to a bank, and open up a business account with that particular name. Like I said, this is the easiest way to get into a business. Now, there are some problems that are associated with this. One, it's just you doing business. You have to hire people in order to help you out. You have to borrow money in order to get additional sources of capital. And if you want to expand beyond one owner, you got to do something a little bit different. Now, one of the ways that you can expand is by getting hold of a partner, which is the next form of organization we're taking a look at. Partnerships are just as easy to get into as a sole proprietorship. You can just walk up to someone and go, we're partners. You might have a oral agreement about that partnership. Again, this is done, but it is not exactly referred to as suggested. Thing I have to point out is that partners get to arguing and bad things can happen. It's best to have some kind of written agreement about who does what particular assets they're bringing into the business. It's a good idea to figure out how you're going to divide things up. Essentially what you're doing, so you can think about it, is you're creating a prenup for your organization. If you're thinking that this partnership will last forever, most of them don't. A more stringent form of partnership you may know of is a marriage, and half of those end in death. So do yourself a favor, if you form a partnership, get yourself a written agreement. Anyway, partnerships are one way of expanding your business from the sole proprietorship. The other forms require a little bit more organization. And the first kind of organization you can add to it is creating a whole fictitious person, a corporation. You form a corporation, it requires a bit more paperwork. You do have to file articles of incorporation. The fees are also relatively low in Oregon, and you have a choice, actually, on where you want to incorporate your business. Though it is tempting to just go ahead and say, I live in Oregon, Oregon is the place for me to incorporate, it doesn't necessarily have to work that way. What you're doing when you incorporate within a state is you're saying, I want to use the laws of this state. That's why you see some firms are locating themselves in Delaware, because they have laws which are beneficial to them. Some are just going to go ahead and locate themselves in North Dakota, because they have laws that are beneficial to them. Currently, one of the more popular states for incorporating is Nevada. And the reason for that is that, we'll get to this later, the barrier between your personal assets and the assets of the corporation are very, very strong in Nevada. And so it enables you to better protect your personal assets should you do something stupid on the business side. Now, I mentioned that there were two kinds of corporations. There's the C-Corp, which is what you normally think of as a corporation. And the other form that you can take a look at is the S-Corp. S-Corps have a couple of restrictions on them. You have to have fewer than 100 shareholders. All your shareholders have to be U.S. citizens. But it allows you to pass through your revenue to your shareholders and so it's only taxed at a personal rate rather than having a separate corporate tax. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. And then the final form is the LLC or the LLP. This is one of the newest forms that are around. What rules cover this very, very significantly from state to state to state. So you can't be sure that what you're getting into in Oregon is the same thing that you're going to be getting into Wyoming. LLCs are very popular in Oregon for a variety of reasons. In fact, you'll often find people that are partners in business, so they're organized as a partnership. When they go ahead and purchase a piece of property for the business, will form a separate LLC. And so if you look at the registrations for LLCs in Oregon, they have some pretty wacky names. I think there's like Bob and Tom's Bad Idea and all sorts of fun stuff like that. Anyway, there are other advantages and disadvantages besides this ability to expand, and one of them has to do with the ability to protect your personal assets if anything bad happens in a business context. Starting back up at the top with sole proprietorships, with a sole proprietorship, there is no distinction between a business asset and a personal asset. You can think of if someone sues you because something stupid you did in a business context, say you had a client take a tumble down some stairs, they can basically sue you and take your house, okay? And so there's very little barrier there, very little protection. Now, if you think a partnership is going to provide you with additional protection, that's not true either, because with a partnership, you are also liable for the stupid things that your partner does. So, for example, if you have a client over at your partner's house, and the client takes a tumble down the partner's stairs, and it is a business meeting to go to their particular office there, the client can sue you and take your house. So watch the pronouns there. That means that everybody involved in the partnership has their personal assets accessible should anything go wrong in a business context. The corporation provides a separation between the two. It creates this Frankenstein monster, this artificial person that can actually own assets. And so when you create your corporation, what you do is you create the shell and then you stick some assets into it. You can sell the assets to the firm. This could be cash in return for stock. Or you can place things like cars and buildings within it in exchange for stock. And that's one of the advantages of the corporation is that people will then sue the corporation, but they don't necessarily are able to reach through to pierce that corporate veil to take a hold of your personal assets. LLCs and LLPs provide boundaries between your personal and business assets that are very similar to what you'll find with corporations, and that's what makes them so attractive. They do have a limitation on it. You have to have your working agreement, and there's supposed to be an ending time. Now, besides dealing with protection of your own assets, there are other differences in tax treatment. For the most part, if you're dealing with either a sole proprietorship or a partnership or an LLC or an LLP, what happens is the revenue, that net income which is generated by those business organizations, pass through to you, and essentially you have to fill out some extra forms when you do your taxes, and so you're taxed at your own personal tax rate. Now, what that means is that you can have two owners, but because they have slightly different incomes, can actually pay different taxes on the same amount of income which is generated through the business. But again, you'll only have taxes, or at least income taxes, at your personal rate. There are still some taxes that are out there that are based upon revenue. TriMet has a couple of those. What makes corporations so valuable is that they are this own separate entity, and if you generate income within the corporation, it will be taxed at the corporate rate, and then will flow through and be taxed at your own personal rate once you release it as dividends. Now, this may seem to be a little bit on the silly side to you, but there are all sorts of advantages to having an artificial person around, and I will illustrate that most easily with children, because children are also valuable assets to you. Consider if you want to go ahead and give, say, $20 to your child, gas money or something along those lines. You can go ahead and take the $20 out of your pocket and hand it to them. And that $20 that you've handed to them has already been taxed all over the place. And so this is an after-tax dollar that you're using. There's another way that you can go ahead and give them the $20 in a way that actually lowers the overall tax bill of the family. And what you do is you hire your child as an employee of the business. And then when you go ahead and you give them money, it gets taxed at their lower tax rate, assuming that your child has a lower tax rate than you do. And what happens is that lowers the overall tax bill of the family. You can do similar things with corporations, because the initial corporate tax for corporations with less than $50,000 worth of income is really low. It's only 15%. So if you generate a lot of revenue within your business and have a lot of income within your business, and you don't intend on taking it out and using it for your own consumption purposes, but rather intend on using it to expand, you can leave it within the corporation, have it be taxed only once at a 15% rate, and then use that funding in order to expand your business. If your business was organized as a sole proprietorship, you generate all this income, be taxed at your personal income tax rate, which is probably higher than 15%, and you would actually have less money available in order to expand your business. So having a corporation around, even though it's possible for you to be taxed twice, I'll explain that in a bit, can have some advantages in terms of lowering the overall tax bill of your family. Now here's how the double taxation part works. You generate the income in the corporation, it gets taxed at the corporate rate, and then when it gets distributed to you as a dividend, you also pay income taxes on top of it. So you see the two taxes stacked across there. But the key is that you have this ability to keep some of that income within the corporation and avoid paying the personal income tax on it while still being able to use that for expansion purposes. Now, there are some other games you can play with both the C-Corp and the S-Corp on how you receive income from the business. Because you have to remember, in order to receive some income, you have to be an owner in order to receive your dividends, but you can also receive salary. You can mess around a little bit with the mix of salary and dividends. But please watch out when you do this. The IRS is very aware of it. And if your salary starts getting too low relative to what's commonly paid and your dividends are still rather high, they will frown upon that, to put it quite mildly. Now, the biggie that you're going to be looking at if you are looking at your forms of organization is probably, when you're first starting out, going to be the benefits that you can actually give your employees. Benefits are going to be things like your retirement benefits. It'll be things like medical benefits that are available to you and all sorts of these interesting packages. And this is probably going to be your primary choice when you're starting out, because you may not have a bunch of assets to protect. But these are extremely tricky and change from year to year, because there are some benefits that an S-Corp and a C-Corp can give, but a partnership cannot. There are some benefits that an LLC and a sole proprietorship can give, but a C-Corp or an S-Corp cannot. And there's all sorts of combinations go through, and these change from year to year to year. I think one of my favorite benefits is the one that it's certain forms, not an S-Corp, but you can for a sole proprietorship, provide all of your employees with full medical benefits quite easily. If you don't have any employees, or the only employee you have is your spouse, this is extremely reasonable, because it means that all your medical expenses come out of pre-tax money. So it's a little bit cheaper for you. So, again, choose your form wisely. Remember, you don't have to stick with the same form of organization every single year, but the transitions can be expensive.